This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The United States' use of Agent Orange defoliant in the Vietnam War is an infamous example of the huge human and environmental costs of warfare. Years later, the effects of the spraying are still being experienced. A Vietnamese U.S. reconciliation project called the Friendship Village has tried to address the ongoing consequences of the war. Michelle Mason has directed and made a film about the project and the consequences of the war titled The Friendship Village, and it'll be shown this afternoon at the Havana Cafe on Commercial. Michelle Mason is also the founder of the Vietnam Village Project Canada. She's joined me on the phone this morning. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
Your documentary deals with the activities of George Mizo. What can you tell us about him?
That's right. George joined the military, believing he was going to serve his country, and he re-enlisted to go to Vietnam because he really wanted to go help the people of Vietnam. And he was there 2 years, and during a key offensive of the it's sort of an opening salvo of the Tet Offensive, actually. George's entire platoon was killed, and that was really a turning point for him. During that battle, just sort of the craziness of the war crystallized for George, and being the sole survivor, he decided that his mission for the rest of his life was to try and heal the wounds of war. That led him back to Vietnam 20 years later, where he actually wound up befriending the Vietnamese general responsible for leading and waging that battle against his men.
And what is the Friendship Village project? How is that connected?
Well, basically, George and General Quang founded this project 17 kilometers outside of Hanoi to treat children who are still being affected by the legacy of the Vietnam War. Namely, these are children that the Vietnamese believe have suffered various deformities and health consequences as a result of the dioxin left by the extensive use of spraying of the toxic herbicide. And, the real tragedy here is that this is the third generation since the war to be affected by that toxic legacy.
We've heard a lot around Iraq of the allegations of weapons of mass destruction. Surely Agent Orange is one of those chemical weapons of mass destruction. Could you give us some idea, those who didn't live through the period of the Vietnam War and hear about it in the years immediately afterward, what are some of the ecological consequences of that chemical?
Right. Well, Agent Orange was actually created in a Chicago laboratory during the end of World War II. And basically, the scientists that discovered it, it was like giving plants cancer. The Agent Orange caused overgrowth of the plant, and basically the plants killed themselves. So when it came to, flash forward to 1961 and the Strategic Hamlet Program under President Kennedy, Agent Orange was implemented through aerial applications to defoliate the dense jungle canopies. So, basically to uncover the enemy, because, of course, the success of the Vietnamese fighting against Americans largely had to do with this jungle canopy. That was their cover. So they tried to defoliate all the areas where the enemy was effectively hiding, as well as to destroy crops. And the name Agent Orange is really primarily derived from the containers that it was shipped over in, which had an orange stripe around the barrel. Now, this operation was called Operation Ranch Hand, and it lasted from 1965 until 1971. And basically, it resulted in 4.5 million hectares of southern Vietnam being sprayed with this chemical. And in fact, today, you can still see the flight paths, because where the planes sprayed, you can see all that's left is really what the Vietnamese called American grass, which is this elephant grass. It's a very invasive shrub, and basically, large, vast tracts of triple canopy jungle have been reduced to these invasive grasses and shrubs. As well, you have the impact on, obviously, the animal population in areas that were heavily sprayed, particularly along, for instance, the Ho Chi Minh Trail, this a strategic transport route for the northern Vietnamese coming down to southern Vietnam. This there really are many species that have never returned to those areas that may potentially have been decimated altogether. And then, of course, maybe one of the most tragic things is that people, of course, are still being exposed to the dioxin that was in Agent Orange to this day. Dioxin was a byproduct of the chemical process that manufactured this by the companies Dow Chemical, Monsanto, Unaroyal, Hercules, Diamond Shamrock, Thompson Chemical, and TH Agriculture. Familiar names to people that are involved in the environmental movement.
So this brought huge numbers of, and still does, of disabled and maimed children and adults too, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with the research being done on this is that, first of all, there's an environmental scientist group here called the Hatfield Group based in Vancouver, and they've been doing the leading research in Vietnam on the environmental impact, and they've very clearly demonstrated that in areas that were heavily sprayed, there's still large amounts of dioxin in the soil. And they also discovered that when the Vietnamese populations in these areas cultivate the soil, it's effectively reawakening the dioxin that's buried in the soil layers, exposing it to sunlight, and that's then re-entering the food chain. So they found high levels of dioxin in duck and fish fats in those areas because the dioxin resides in the fatty tissues. And tragically, this also means that it's being passed through mother's breast milk, which of course contains a lot of fat. And so some of the things I saw when I was in Vietnam were, for instance, there was one boy who just had flippers for feet. He had a torso, and then he just had two sort of little flippers. Now, he came to the Friendship Village, and he was very depressed, but he was given his first wheelchair, and within half a day, this kid was racing around the Friendship Village with a big smile on his face. And, you know, so these are some of the small but significant ways in which projects like the Friendship Village are trying to alleviate some of those consequences of war. The Vietnamese estimate that over 1 million children are affected by Agent Orange. But it's kind of like the tobacco case, where there's really no sort of smoking gun piece of evidence that shows the link between dioxin contamination in human beings and birth defects. That's something that the Hatfield Group are now trying to establish, because it's very clear on a case-by-case basis that this is the cause. There is some kind of genetic link, but until that is proven in a laboratory, of course, the chemical companies and the U.S. government will continue to deny that this is having that kind of an impact, as we saw recently when the Vietnamese waged a lawsuit against the chemical companies and lost.
What personal journey led you to make this film?
Well, I started my career in journalism. I worked in international journalism, and my first week on the job at the CBC Bureau in London, England, was I witnessed the Rwandan massacre. Basically, I was put in a satellite feed room, and all these images started coming over the feeds. And as you can imagine, it just changed my life to see the real face of war. Having grown up in Vancouver, very sheltered society, to see this, it just made me want to stop that, to find a way to do that. And I realized that journalism wasn't the path for that. So I set out as a documentary filmmaker. And I went to live in Germany for a year, and that's when I first met George Mizo. He had married a German woman, and they had decided to settle in Germany so that he could get health care, because George himself was a victim of Agent Orange. He suffered severe health consequences as a result of his own exposure to the chemical. And his story and his journey just inspired me so much, and I decided I wanted to make a film that would move people, and try to, force people to think about the consequences of war in a new way, in hopes that, ultimately we'll start discovering ways to transcend this legacy of violence that, I just really believe that violence just begets more violence, as we're now seeing in Iraq, where obviously the lessons of Vietnam still haven't been learned.
Were there difficult challenges in making the film? You're going to a culture presumably very unfamiliar to you, as well as linguistically and historically, about a very painful topic to people in that culture.
Yeah, it was a very difficult film to make for numerous reasons. One was that George was an American, and the Canadian funding system doesn't support films about non-Canadians. So It took me about 4 years to actually make the film, but, you know, the determination shown by people like George and of course, meeting these children just made me all the more determined to get it done. But filming in Vietnam was a very heavy experience, because you can imagine the kinds of things we saw, you know, all these children and their bodies twisted and deformed in horrible ways. And yet at the same time, you know, it's a tragic story, but it's also inspiring because, you know, we saw veterans coming together from, you know, both sides of the battle who are now establishing friendships. You know, they met at the Friendship Village, and you know, people that were once enemies are now finding ways to heal the wounds of war on a personal level. And then they're taking that and trying to help the children in Vietnam, as well as some of the veterans suffering from those consequences. And, in fact, the U.S. Veterans Affairs has acknowledged that 10 different diseases in its own veteran population, but of course nothing's been done for the veterans in Vietnam. They've also recognized one illness in children, which is spina bifida. But there's a vast range of things, and it was very emotionally draining every day seeing more and more of these children. There were veterans who had all kinds of strange growths on their bodies. There was one family who had given birth to 5 children that were blind. Things like this. I'm just glad to be participating in a project that's at least trying to mitigate some of those problems. But, you know, it's just very clear that there never really will be any kind of justice in Vietnam, especially for these children that weren't even alive when the war went on.
Your film is going to be shown this afternoon. Is it? No, tomorrow.
It is this afternoon. Yeah.
And after that, there's going to be a panel. Could you just describe the panel, and then I'll give people the details about the screening and where they can go to hear the discussion as well.
Right. Well, the film itself is 50 minutes, and given that it's the 30th anniversary of the end of the war, we just wanted to give people an opportunity to talk about some of the issues the film raises. So I obviously will be present, and as will Jeff Schutz, an American historian, also my husband, and himself a veteran from the 1980s in the U.S. military who filed to be recognized as a conscientious objector. As well, we have Tom Boivin of the Hatfield Group, the environmental scientists I mentioned earlier they're currently actually mapping out the hot spots in Vietnam. This hasn't even been done yet. You know, 30 years after the war has ended, they're only just now learning where these stacks and hot spots are. As well, we have Anne Nguyen, who's an anthropologist from the University of Victoria, and a representative of the Vietnam veterans in Canada. These are both Canadians who went and participated, as well as soldiers that came to Canada afterwards.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope you have an excellent turnout to the film and the discussion.
Thanks so much, Mordecai.
I've been speaking with Michelle Mason. She's the filmmaker and director of The Friendship Village, and she's also the founder of the Vietnam Friendship Village Project Canada. The documentary that she was describing will be screened this afternoon between 2 and 5 p.m. at the Havana. That's at 1212 Commercial Drive. Admission is free. And if you can't get to this afternoon screening, there's more information on the documentary if you check the web. It's www.cypress-park.ca.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.